It is Free Talk Live, and it's the live Sunday edition of the program. Of course, you can dial toll-free to join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. However, if you call on Skype, you won't be able to talk to our special guest that we're going to start the show out with here tonight. I'll introduce him here in a moment because he's going to be on Skype and conferencing Skype calls. It's a little weird. So anyway, with you in the studio, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
And so lots of news to come here tonight, including a story out of Idaho about a man who has been ticketed for plowing the streets. And Daryl's got that story.
Specifically his street.
All right. We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. And our number is 855-450-FREE. Also, once again, Food Not Bombs activists in Florida have been arrested for feeding hungry people. This time in Tampa. It previously had been going down in Orlando a few years ago. Now Tampa police are cracking down on the feeding of the homeless, so I definitely want to talk about that tonight.
Plus, since it's Sunday, we do have the Free Talk Live book club where discuss Chapter 10 of Economics in One Lesson.
Yeah, so all that's on tap here tonight. But we're going to start out with Anthony DiOrio, who is normally up in Toronto, but he's at this time of year, apparently down in sunny Sarasota, Florida, which is where I'm from originally. Anthony, you are the creator, for longtime listeners of the show, they know you're the creator of the Jax wallet, the official wallet of Free Talk Live. That is the official Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency wallet. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Sure. So you were actually going to respond, I guess, to some of the, I guess, some concerns that some of our listeners have had surrounding the Jax wallet. They had posted on our AMP forum, and you figured it'd be best to just come on the air and talk about what's going on with Jax. Some people have said that it's just, you know, maybe a little bit slow for them. And did you want to address that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of what I wanted to come on for. You'd reached out to me yesterday and said there were some messages about that, and I went onto the AMP channel, and I think I pretty much cleared everything up. And then I thought it'd be just a good idea to give an update on what our path is. Let the people that are using the wallet understand a little bit more about what we're trying to accomplish, what are the complexities and the things that we're doing, the ground that we really are breaking, being a multi-token wallet that's available on multiple devices, that's dealing with experimental technology, which are blockchain, which are changing every day. So just thought I'd come in and just talk a little more about our path and maybe a little get some understanding as to why things work the certain way that they do with the wallet. And, of sure. course, try to do it in a way that's going to be easy for your listeners to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we're talking about Bitcoin, which is the incredible cryptocurrency that has taken the world by storm. It just had its 8th birthday just a few days ago, and it is the number one by far cryptocurrency in the world. It was the first to market. But there are some other ones out there, and that's one of the things that I really love about Jax is that it is a multi-currency wallet in that you can hold different cryptocurrencies in Jax. Can you rattle off the current list? Because I'm lost track. There's so many of them now.
Yeah, and it depends which device you're on, because with their Apple devices, there's been some that aren't approved for the App Store, for the Apple Store. So,
oh, has it been more than one? Because I remember they pulled Dash from the app on the Apple Store. That is the currency, a cryptocurrency called Dash. Have there been more since then that Apple has said no to?
Yeah, well, so we were the first to put Dash on the App Store. We got it approved, and then, you know, a few days later, they messaged us that we had to take it down. And it's not that some of the other ones haven't been it's only Dash. It's that they have a list of a few that they have approved. And until someone tries to put other ones on, you don't know whether or not they will approve them or not. So it's a little tricky for us because we want to keep adding more and more. But we have to then, when we launch it, and see if it gets approved or not, and see if they reject it. Because they haven't come clear with any information as to why Dash isn't accepted. So it really doesn't make any sense for us. So with Apple, we don't have Dash on there. There's also a couple others we don't have because what we were noticing was as we were adding more and more tokens, the complexities and the amount of work that was passed off to the phone to do was starting to slow it down as we were adding more and more tokens.
Ooh,
and it was
so
especially happening with iOS devices.
Yikes. All right.
Yeah. So not an issue. What we did is we put a freeze on adding more tokens, especially onto the iOS device. So that's why not only is Dash not there, but there's also some of the ones that we'd added over the last couple months that aren't on Apple yet. Because what we've spent our time doing the last 2 months is completely doing an architecture overhaul. to be able to, as we're adding more and more tokens, to ensure that the efficiency, the speed, and user experience is going to continue to be is going to be smooth. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. My phone, I've got a newer phone. I got a Google Pixel. Works flawlessly, no issues. But if you have an older device, like maybe a year or 2 years old, because the keys are stored on your device, and that means that they don't leave your device, they're generated, created there, they stay there, it means that there's some extra work that we have to do with the device. It has to do some extra work that usually can get passed off to servers or get passed off to other things. But because of that philosophy we have of if you don't own the keys, you don't own your money or you don't have control of your money, mm-hmm. it does get the phone to do a little bit more work. And as the older the phone is, the slower it's going to be, especially when you're dealing with multiple blockchains.
So that's one of the differences. Just like to stop you there for a moment. That's one of the differences between the Jax wallet and some of the other wallets out there. Like, for instance, if I've got a Jax wallet, you don't necessarily know that I have it. You don't know what my wallet address is, right? Isn't Jax more of a kind of privacy-oriented wallet as opposed to, let's say, some of the others out there where you have to give them an email or a password in order
to... Well, some of them you don't have to give an email or password, mm-hmm. but if you want to be able to back up and restore, then you do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we've never collected user information, so we don't know how many installs we've had of certain versions of our app. We don't know who's using it. We don't know the amount of transaction volumes. We know nothing. That's really been the privacy aspect of what we've always tried to do. Mm-hmm. We don't, and in the future, we have realized though that it is valuable to be using some of this data anonymously, which is what we're probably going to do more in the future. Enable to provide a better user experience, but we still have to weigh that with the privacy thing, and that's the paramount thing for us is making sure that privacy is ensured, making sure you're in full control of your keys, making sure our code is open and visible, and people can see that exactly what it's doing. If you want to dig into the code, so those are the things that we've always gone by of, and that's been great for us, but it also leads to other complications when you take that approach.
Now, I'm looking at the app, or I was about 10 seconds ago. I had just closed it and trying to reopen it. And I know that you can, you know, hide certain currencies. So, like, I don't want anything to do with Ethereum, and I don't even want to see that wallet. So I can hide that. So I'm showing Bitcoin and Dash. And I wasn't seeing a way to adjust to see what other currencies. So is that something that is standard, or was I just having a glitch?
Do you mean to add other currencies if you want to see them?
Yes.
Yes. So if you go into the menu, which is the hamburger menu on the right.
Okay, I see that now. I did not see that when I had the app pulled open ago.
What you could do is in the menu there, you can hide the ones you don't want to see, and you could also sort them in the order of preference as well, so you can put them in the order that you want.
Yep.
And that makes it, because we were finding, you know, exactly what you were saying there, Daryl, is when if you're a Bitcoin user and you don't care about Ethereum and you just want to see Bitcoin, you shouldn't be forced to see the Ethereum there as well.
Right.
So
see that Zcash is on here now. Very
Zcash
happy about that.
That's
right.
One of the newest ones that you've added in there. And I know that Monero, which is a very popular anonymous cryptocurrency, some of our listeners are huge fans of Monero, and they've been waiting eagerly for Jax to introduce Monero as its newest currency. Because as I understand it right now, the Monero currency doesn't even have its own GUI for a computer. I mean, this will be like a really big deal when this Monero wallet comes
GUI
out.
GUI being the graphical user interface.
Yeah. So this is where I want to really stress and kind of give my whole team props, because we were the first Ethereum wallet. You know, we were the first Ethereum Classic. We are the only Zcash wallet.
Oh, wow.
We've got another technology called Rootstock that's emerging to help out support Bitcoin. We're the test wallet for that. And then Monero has been just the most complex thing, because Monero is a completely different animal than Bitcoin,
right.
Ethereum. It's its own code from scratch, and which means that there's no tools that have been developed for it yet. So we had to start from scratch, and
we've gone
and broken ground where not even the Monero team has been able has put the tools together for people to develop on it. So that's what we've been structuring, we've been building, and maybe after the break we'll talk a bit more about
that. Yeah, hang on, Anthony. I know that you also said you're willing to field phone calls, so anybody that's got questions for the boss man behind Jax, he's with us here. Anthony DiOrio calling us from his second home, or I don't know how many homes he's got, but he's got at least two, because he lives in Toronto and now just got a place in Sarasota, Florida. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free and take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. Although questions right now should be directed toward our special guest, Anthony DiOrio. He is the man behind Jax, or one of the people. He's one of the primary folks behind the Jax wallet, the official wallet of Free Talk Live, which you can download, by the way, we haven't mentioned this, at jax.io. It's JAXX.io. And one of the things that's I think makes Jax one of the best wallets out there, and certainly a very unique wallet, is that it is cross-platform. So in addition to it holding multiple currencies, including Bitcoin and several other cryptocurrencies that are also very popular, it also is cross-platform, meaning that you can have it on your smartphone, you can have it on a tablet, you can have it on a Windows, a Mac, or a Linux-based computer. It's even available as browser plugins for Chrome as well as Firefox. So you can have access to your Bitcoin and your other cryptocurrencies pretty much anywhere you are with the Jax wallet. So go to jax.io. It is the official wallet of Free Talk Live. And we're talking with Anthony DiOrio. If you've got a question for him, he's willing to field phone calls. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. He's on via Skype from Florida tonight. Anthony, thanks for staying with us here.
For sure.
So let's see. Where were we? I know that we're kind of covering some of the features in the future.
You had asked about Monero. He was explaining the difficulty there.
Yeah, talk a bit more about Monero. So
sure. Yeah, you guys had to recode a bunch of stuff from scratch and basically cover new ground because Monero is not like Bitcoin. It's completely different. It was itself built from scratch, unlike most of the other cryptocurrencies, which are sort of copies and slight modifications to the Bitcoin software. But Monero is totally different. And so you guys had really nothing to go on except for whatever their original code was for Monero, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. We classify coins into three different segments. We've got Bitcoin ones, which are like the Litecoins, the Dogecoins, all the ones that are basically a Bitcoin clone that took the original Bitcoin code, made a few tweaks to it, and then released it. So there's tools out for some of that stuff. And then you have Ethereum, which has a number of tokens built on top of it. You've got Augur, you've got a bunch of other ones, which are tokens on top of Ethereum. So that's the second one. And then Monero we classify in the third category, which is like a whole new thing. So we've literally spent months of work trying to get the Monero wallet going. And
wow.
just about a week and a half ago, we did our first transactions on Jax. So it's working. But it's being meshed now with the new architecture that we're putting in place in order to make sure that once we put Monero in and Dogecoin, we got Dogecoin coming as well, that it's not going to slow things down as we're adding more and more tokens. So that's what's actually what we're doing right now is Monero's done, and it's about putting it in the new architecture that separates the different tokens even more so that if you don't want Ethereum, initially you could hide Ethereum, but it would still be downloading everything for Ethereum. Now, if you just want one, let's say you just want Bitcoin, you can segregate it so that it doesn't do anything with the other tokens. So it's not taking any resources of your phone or any of your devices to do any of the other blockchains. And that's what's going to make it much more efficient and offer a much better experience for users.
Good.
And also, I wanted to mention another key factor of Jax is the ability to shift between all the coins as well. So
right.
You can actually trade and exchange between all the different ones right inside of Jax.
Because of Shapeshift.
Shapeshift, right. Exactly.
So yeah. Once you wind up getting Monero implemented, because Monero is basically like one of the first big crypto note currencies, how easy would it be for you to then install other crypto note currencies like Bitcoin?
Good question.
Crypto note currency? Sorry, I'm not getting what that is.
Crypto note is the coding that Monero is built on top of.
That's what we've been told, at least, yeah.
Okay, I am not familiar with that myself. All I know it's like I don't know if there's others that are similar to Monero. Maybe there are.
Yeah, that's
okay,
what. I'm
not personally aware of other ones that are built on that particular platform.
Yeah, so Crypto Note
I'm aware of.
Has released their coding to where people can wind up fairly easily making their own currencies. So Bitcoin, which is BIP.
Oh, Bitcoin. I thought you had said Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with that name.
Okay. With a P, run by Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, or at least he was the creator, the
visionary.
That's
or
his brainchild. Yeah. They're doing the thing for .bip to where it's going to be a decentralized
They want to do the decentralized DNS. They want to do they want to do it right compared to what the old Namecoin did, which was trying to do that but never really implemented it in an easy to use way. So that's what he's looking
to
do.
Yeah, no, I and maybe you can explain why Monero is different and why people are so excited about Monero. Is Monero has it's adding the extra privacy so that you can't see transactions.
Right.
Okay. So you need a separate key in order to see the transactions for a particular account. And that's the main difference. You know, with Bitcoin, you can see all the transactions if you have the address. And that's why people say it's pseudonymous, is because, you know, you don't know necessarily who's behind the keys and who's behind the transactions, but you still get to see all the transactions. With Monero, right, it has a separate key. And that's where the difference kind of comes in, is you need that key in order to see the transactions. So in order for us to get balances and see the transaction histories, that key is needed. And that's where the complexities came in, is how does things get put in place where the general public don't have that view key, but we still need to see that view key in order for you to be able to see your transactions and your balances and things. So that's where the added complexity came in, with a separate key that is needed in order to, for us to facilitate the standard things that you need in a wallet, which is how do you get a balance for an account and how do you see the transaction histories for a particular account. And that's really where the complexities were.
Well, I'm excited to hear that the Jax wallet's being rebuilt and restructured to where it'll be even more efficient and faster than before. There's not a lot of critiques for the Jax wallet. It's a beautiful-looking wallet. It's easy to use. It's got the multiple currencies. It's got the cross-platform support. It really is a killer wallet. The only thing I've ever heard from – and it's free. But the only thing I've ever heard was it's too slow, and I'm glad that you guys are addressing that. So thank you for it.
That's been a major, major push for us the last couple of months. That and Monero have been the two things that have been keeping us really busy, and the whole thing will come together with a 1.2 release of Jax, which is slated for the next couple of weeks.
Okay, coming soon. Anything else you want to add in about the Jax wallet and what's coming maybe on the distant horizon?
Sure. So the overall plan for Jax is to become the interface for blockchain. That's what we feel is really missing in the blockchain space, is a way for the communities to have one application that kind of rallies together and supports all the different blockchains and brings a user experience similar to like the browser did for the internet. So before the browser came about, there's a lot of stuff for developers, a lot of command line stuff. And then as soon as the browser emerged, people can say, oh, now I understand that it's really just a source to see data that's collected. And then people like my dad, the masses, can actually use the technology. That's what we're bringing. We develop products for the masses. We develop products so that my dad can actually use something. If he wants to store his Bitcoin, he doesn't have to download the whole blockchain. He doesn't download parts of the blockchain even. He can actually have an interface and have a very easy way to be in full control of his keys, knows what's going on, and interact between different blockchains, and really have that user interface and experience very similar to what the browser did for the internet.
Yeah, and right now, you know, we're just barely scratching the surface on what that means. I mean, you touch on it in some of the, you know, the things that we say when we are advertising Jax, that, you know, you want to give people control over their digital life in coins. You're doing that now. But then contracts and identity.
Contracts, messaging, all done in a private way where you own the keys. There's no centralized servers, which is storing all the information. You own the keys. Nobody can take them from you. No one can go into your bank account and take your money from you. Your identity is yours. You own it, taking it away from the way the government does things with their identity systems.
Yeah, it's a much bigger vision. It's a much bigger vision than just you can hold some Bitcoin and some other cryptocurrency. So I'm really cool. I'm glad you have that, too. I think it's a big picture. It's a big idea for the future of Jax. And we'll, of course, continue to inform our listeners about it. Anthony, thanks for calling in tonight from sunny Florida.
Thanks for having me on again.
I appreciate
it. Take care, guys.
Yep. Anthony DiOrio from Jax.io. You can grab it at the Apple or Google app stores as well. It's free.
If you had one day to teach someone economics, what would you say? We would say that innovation and prosperity requires economic freedom. Visit fee.org/courses and check out Economics in One Day, a crash course in free market economics that you can present to your community. For over 70 years, the Foundation for Economic Education has been a champion of liberty. Start today at no charge by visiting fee.org/courses and learn why economic freedom matters.
This is Free Talk Live, and you're invited here to join us toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's our number. It's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. Skype username is lrn.fm. Coming up, the illegal plow guy out of Idaho. We'll get that story from Daryl, and also we got to get into economics in one lesson. I lucked out. Chapter 10 turned out to be very short. I realized yesterday that I had not yet read any of Chapter 10 and pulled the book down from the shelf in the LRN bathroom and realized it was only 2 pages long. So I was able to finish it in time for the show tonight. We're going to get into all that coming up here in moments. But I want to welcome our brand newest Sunday night radio affiliates. We've got WNIX on board, and they've got an FM translator and an AM station in Greenville, Mississippi. And in addition to WNIX, we're also welcoming KLKS-FM in Brainerd, Minnesota, in Pequot Lakes. So welcome aboard to all of those new listeners out there. You started hearing Free Talk Live a week ago, I think, and so you might have realized that we're a little different than your typical talk radio show.
Plus, there's a couple of stations that I believe we're starting this weekend.
That's
that we
right.
will welcome next weekend.
Exactly. So if you're new to the show, yeah, this show is different. We are open phones, which means that if there's something on your mind, if there's something that you've been wanting to talk about and have a larger audience than, let's say, your Facebook feed or your Twitter, then you can call in here and you can bring up whatever you want. We'll discuss it with you. Our toll-free number is here for you. It's 855-450-FREE. Also, Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. So welcome aboard to those new stations. And if you like that this show's on over 160 radio stations around the country, if you want us to be on 200, 300, 400 stations, it's possible. There are hundreds of stations in the United States, hundreds of talk stations. The biggest talk shows are on like 500, 600. So we can get there. We need to do it with your help, though. So if you can, please take a moment to go to the AMP page. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is you send $5 a month into the show with any major credit card through PayPal or Visa or MasterCard or Bitcoin right there on our website at amp.freetalklive.com, and you will get access to perks like the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only Facebook group, which is where there's some of that conversation with Anthony DiOrio going
yes.
on. So if you've got some more questions for him and you didn't get him in tonight, if you're on the AMP-only group, he's in there, and he's more than happy to talk to you there. So there's that. And then other perks that are available to amplifiers like the AMP Only podcast. So go and get signed up. It's $5 a month. It makes a big difference for us. And I can tell you right now, it's more important than ever. We actually dipped below the $3,000 per month mark for the first time in quite a while. So, yeah, it's like right at the end of the year, people's subscriptions can expire. Credit cards can expire. Some people reassess their finances and decide, I just can't afford this anymore. So we've dipped down. Don't expect other people to do it for you. Please, if you like the show and you appreciate what we're doing, go to amp.freetalklive.com. It really helps us market this show to more stations. That's AMP, ampamp.freetalklive.com. So the plow guy, an illegal plow guy, not meaning that he's not from another country, but what happened?
So Pocatello, Idaho. Whenever it snows, Mitch Fisher is ready to help out his neighbors, whether it's clearing the sidewalks or trying to clear the streets. When the area was hit with a storm around Christmas, he was out in the street with his ATV. He says, I take care of the neighbors. They're elderly. I like to help them out.
Oh, that's nice.
On Wednesday, however, Pocatello police officers cited Fisher for an infraction. And this is the part that I did not tell you, Ian, because I want your honest reaction on the title of this infraction. Placing or depositing material on a public right-of-way.
Okay. It sounds like you could get that ticket for letting your dog do his business on the sidewalk or something like that.
Well, that's why you're supposed to pick it up. They've got the sign, like pick up after your dog.
That's what it's, and when I hear that, that's what I think of as far as like maybe that's why it was written.
Carries a cost of more than $200. And I hate the way they use the word cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your ticket. It will cost you. No, the fine is $200.
So let me see if I've got this straight. He used his ATV with a plow on it.
Yes.
To clear out some of the the streets or whatever of snow in order to help his elderly neighbors.
Correct.
Presumably, he then moved that snow to a sidewalk or someplace that was not directly in the street. And that's what they're saying was the placing of the thing on the, what was it, government?
Public right-of-way.
Public right-of-way.
He says he was baffled.
So that's like the little strip, right? The right-of-way can include... Oh, the right-of-way is big, right? Like, it includes from the middle of the road, I think, at least here in New Hampshire, I believe it's like 30 feet from the center of a two-lane
it's
road or something.
Some amount of feet from the center of the road. He says he was baffled. He told local media, I tried to talk the officer out of it and tell him what I was doing, that I was trying to get the snow out of the street because the street hasn't been plowed since the beginning of the snow season. Mm. Of course, he was just doing his job and wrote the citation and went on his way. Chapter 9 of Pocatello City Code states it is unlawful for any person to deposit, place, or allow to remain in or upon any public right-of-way any material or substance injurious to persons or property. In this case, case, the public right-of-way was the street. He was plowing the snow off of the street, but was cited for putting things on the public right-of-way.
Well, he was putting things on the sidewalk area or wherever it was he was plowing it to.
Wasn't even the sidewalk.
Okay.
Let me tell you. He said that he argued he wasn't moving the snow into the street, but that he was doing the opposite. He moved the snow into a pile next to his curb. So he was clearing
it. Still the right-of-way.
Completely out of the front of the neighbors' houses so that none of the neighbors had to shovel out their driveway.
Right.
He was putting it all in front
of his property.
House.
But that's still the right-of-way, and so they're going to claim that you're not allowed to put it there. But the thing that I found interesting in that that statute or ordinance was that it had to be dangerous. Can you read that part about it again? Because
any
frozen
material
water,
or substance that is injurious or to person or property.
Right. So if you put down some razor blades on the right-of-way, that would definitely seem to qualify because some children could step on them. But, you know, to say that snow is injurious to persons or
could
property.
Could slip on it.
Yeah, but it was already there. That's the thing. Like, you know, he didn't add any snow that wasn't already there with the intention of getting people to slip. This, I would say that he's got a good case, even the way this this ordinance is written.
I think he does. Yeah. Again, he says that I didn't want it in front of my neighbor's houses because then they can't park. Yeah. I don't care if it's in front of mine.
This guy has got to go to trial. Now, unfortunately, I don't know what the rules are in Idaho. I know that here in New Hampshire, for a town ordinance violation, you cannot get a jury trial. But this is perfect for a jury trial. I mean, if you could actually get a jury to look at this case, there'd be no way. I mean, it would be so outrageous if a jury convicted this guy.
Did you guys see the story out of Michigan about the guy who got a ticket for warming up his car?
Oh, that happens in places, yeah. It's illegal in a lot of places.
Yeah, there are a lot of places to where you cannot have an unattended vehicle that is running.
That's what happened to him. And so he put up, he was upset about it and wrote something on Facebook about it, said, we live in Michigan, we all warm up our cars.
Yeah.
It was in his driveway, warmed up his car, and when he went back into his house, when he came back out, there was a ticket on his car for...
Ridiculous.
For a car that was going while unattended, and I put it on Facebook and named the police officer some kind of an epithet, and the police chief said, you know, I can understand he's upset, but he's calling my officer's names. He can drop dead.
Wow.
Wow. Despite the hefty tag of the citation, Fisher says he doesn't plan on stopping.
Good.
He does plan on contesting the ticket, hoping to show that he was not violating the city code.
The outlaw plow guy. I love it. I hope that we get more updates on this dude because that is an amazing story. And we'll continue. Maybe you've got thoughts you want to share. I mean, does anybody out there support him being targeted for this? I mean, who could possibly take the side of code enforcement or the police in this case? 855-450-FREE. Join us here. This is Free Talk Live. It is the live Sunday edition of the program. We're talking about a ridiculous incident with the police in Pocatello, Idaho, where a man was plowing his neighbor's driveways and plowing the streets. He said the streets apparently had not been plowed at all so far in the cold season up there. Now, I don't know how many snowfalls they've had in Pocatello, but...
Well, I know how many they've had in... Montana because I've got family in Hardin where we're actually on.
That's right.
And talked to my grandmother yesterday. She said that since the first snow fell, they've had 60 inches.
How the hell? I mean, they must have had some snowfall in Pocatello then. I mean, somewhat in somewhat similar region at least. How could you possibly have that much snowfall and not a single plow truck goes through?
I don't know, but...
Do they have plow trucks out in the Midwest or whatever?
Idaho's not the Midwest.
What is that?
Idaho's like, you know, the...
Isn't it
kind of
westy?
The rocky? It's definitely west, but Midwest would be like
east or
Minnesota.
West of the Rockies. That's what the radio audience wants to know.
It's kind of like part of and to the west.
Okay.
So where's the Midwest now?
The Midwest is like Minnesota and Michigan.
That's not west.
It's west of here. The Northwest Territory was like Ohio and Indiana.
I don't know. I guess when I think of west and east, I kind of divide the country, you know, down the middle and figure whatever's on the west is in the west and whatever's on the east is in the east. I guess that's too simple.
The people that came up with these names were, you know, like eastern-centric.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, like there's... New England, and then there's the Northeast, which is much larger,
right.
And then there's the Mid-Atlantic, and then there's the South, and then Southwest is not Southern California. No, no, Southwest is New Mexico and most of Texas.
Southwest doesn't include Southern California?
No, that's Pacific.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here to set me straight on all this. But let's get to the comments section.
The comment
of this
section
story.
Is amazing. I just happened to have scrolled down.
Did they arrest him or just ticket him?
I just ticketed.
Okay, so they ticketed the dude for moving some snow around and some ridiculous ordinance violation of placing something dangerous.
Placing or depositing material on a public right-of-way that could be dangerous to person.
Let me give you a real quick geography lesson.
Yeah, thank you. I did go to geography class in like middle school.
The only states further west than Idaho are Washington and Oregon.
And of course Alaska.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not really Midwest then.
Correct.
It's more like the West.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should have said that Washington and Oregon are directly west of Idaho.
Yes.
So, but it's not Pacific because it doesn't touch the Pacific.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
So some of these comments are absolutely priceless. One guy, ARA5353, says, I wonder if that cop saw me brushing the snow off of my car window and roof before driving it, if he would give me a ticket for placing or depositing material on a public right-of-way. Just when I think people can't be any dumber, someone goes and proves me wrong.
Yeah, this is pretty outrageous.
And then somebody responds to that, brushing your car, he'd take you to jail and shoot your dog. Uncle John says the cop was just doing his job. As a mindless revenue collector, I guess there were no kids' lemonade stands to shake down in the wintertime.
Zing. You know, I love these comments
here.
Because, you know, they really show how just pathetic the police look in these instances, and people know it. You know, they nobody asked for this service. There wasn't anyone who, I mean, I can't imagine any of this guy's neighbors called the cops on him.
Yeah. Travis and Fam says, sounds like they should fire the cop, too much time on his hands, and use that money to hire snowplow contractors.
Yeah. Wow.
The first response to this is, what we really need are more people who can and will take care of themselves
and
their
neighbors. Right.
Look at the big
picture.
This
is what, before you go on there, that's a great point, because this is one of the things that government does, and they do it well, but doing it well in this case is a bad thing. They intercede, and they kind of make it comfortable for people to not know who their neighbors are, to rely on the government for things rather than relying on their neighbors, to contact the government when they have a problem with their neighbors. So rather than just going straight to the neighbor's door, knocking on it, introducing themselves, and or picking up the phone and calling them if they already know them, they call the government, complain to the government, and say so-and-so neighbor is doing X, Y, or Z, and then they want the government to go and do their dirty work for them, which is to have some sort of stern conversation, you know, with the neighbor and tell them, you better stop doing this or else.
And
it's not a neighborly thing to do.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, the people that wind up making the rules – they want people to rely upon government. They don't want people to do this themselves. No, we can't allow everybody to just plow their street. There would be mayhem and chaos and anarchy. So we have to make a law saying that it's illegal for you to plow the street because only we know how to do that.
Yes, so it interferes and destroys, I think, relationships or relationships that could otherwise and would otherwise exist. They just eliminate that. And that's what I was giving them credit for doing well. It's not a good thing that they do it well, but they've basically disconnected people from one another and have made themselves seem like they're necessary for these things, when in point of fact, they're not. We could all handle these responsibilities, whether it's doing it ourselves or hiring somebody to do it, whether it's, you know, taking care of your property, moving snow around, keeping the roads safe. We don't
feeding your neighbors, and you've got a story about people that got arrested for that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's the cops, once again, who are clearly showing that they are not your friend. They are acting like an enemy. They are an occupying gang in any given territory, and it's too bad because I think, you know, it'd be nice if we could trust the police. It'd be nice if we could look to the police when there really was something wrong, like somebody breaking into a house or committing some sort of violent act against another human being. That's when you want the police to do the right thing. You don't want them out chasing after a plow guy or a marijuana smoker.
Right.
But because they spend so much time on this little crap, pulling over stop sign violations, speeding violations, all these things that have no victim whatsoever,
right.
They ruin their own reputation.
But that's where the money is. The money comes from them going after people that have not created an actual victim.
That's right. They don't get money if they go and arrest a murderer.
And they're not beholden to their customers the way that people in private enterprises are.
That's because they keep getting paid no matter how bad they are.
Exactly.
So two more comments that I want to share. There's 70 of them.
Yeah.
Not reading all, but there's two more. Stacy says, so when are the police going to ticket the Pocatello Street Department? Last week, they blew snow off the sidewalks on Olympus from Fairway to Jerome and graded it on the road and didn't sand either. There are only so many places you can put snow. Sir, you are an awesome neighbor.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then Brad says, inept city hacks hate competition. I saw a neighbor with a plow accomplish more in our neighborhood in half an hour than the city did all year.
Wow. Well, you know, people are frustrated. They realize, at least the commenters here, realize the government's inept. They realize the government is inefficient.
And then a couple of people point out that he could have been cited because it says to place or allow to remain.
Mm.
He could have been cited if he did not plow. So you plow, illegal. You don't plow, also illegal.
Wow. Okay, so apparently he needs to go out there with a flamethrower to make the ice go away.
Yes.
That's the only solution to avoid a ticket.
Yes.
So
he'd probably wind up getting cited for operating a flamethrower in Pocatello city limits without, you know, filling out an ID-10T form.
Is that what you need for a flamethrower, or did you just make that up?
ID-10T is just jot it down. Jot down ID-10T.
Okay.
And it spells out what you are.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I didn't have to write it down.
The idiot form. So whenever somebody asks you for something and you know, there's not actually a form, just tell them the ID-10T.
All right. So the question is, though, you know, what can we do about this? Obviously, the government is destroying people's freedoms. They are infringing upon your rights. People realize it. These people in this comment section are rightfully upset, and their comments are spot on. Although I do find myself wondering in those 70 comments, is there somebody, Daryl, who's like, yeah, stick it to that plow guy. How dare he break the rules? I'm just curious about that. I know you haven't had a chance to read them all, but if you find one coming up here during the news, I would be interested. Because I can't imagine anyone is willing to call to defend the government on this one. I mean, there are a lot of police apologists out there, but really, going after the plow guy for, you know, volunteer neighborly plow guy for helping out his elderly neighbors, that's what they're going after now?
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything where anybody is, you know, saying, congratulations, cop, you're a hero.
Not even the trolls came out for this one. All right, 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live. Hour 2's coming up. You can take control.
Tired of the NSA spying on you? We've got the tools. Want to stop using your social security number? That's easy. Interested in learning more about Bitcoin and alternative currencies? Our experts are standing by. Hi, I'm Nick Reed, founder of Frontier Liberty, a first-of-its-kind liberty consulting service. At FrontierLiberty.com, you'll find tools and resources for virtually every situation. If you can't find a solution, schedule a consultation and we'll develop a plan that's right for you. Visit FrontierLiberty.com today or call 512-865-4808.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
We've got Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, it's happened again. Food Not Bombs activists arrested for feeding hungry people, feeding homeless people, in a park in Tampa, Florida. We'll give you the latest on that story, because it's been a couple of years since we've heard, a few years, I think, since the multiple arrests went down in Orlando, Florida, with the Food Not Bombs folks. So we'll give you that story coming up here. Also, the Economics in One Lesson, Chapter 10. We've been going through this book. It's a free book that you can download. You can read on your own. Maybe you can read along with us. We've been doing it pretty much week to week, chapter by chapter, doing kind of a book review, book club thing here. So we're going to get into that, too. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So we're going to get into economics in one lesson. I want to make sure we get to it here shortly, because you know we always get sidetracked and then you know, end up having to back it up by another week before we get to it. So we'll do that shortly. But first, Sarah is on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
So we just had the 2017 electronic show in Nevada. And, of course, the self-driving automated car was one of the big deal there. So, I was told that Hyundai, all the car companies are jumping in to making self-automated cars. And I was told that the Intel and the computer industry, they're getting a big boost because they need a lot of help from the software. So, you know, they're all tied in together. So what do you think about that? So they had a whole bunch of gadgets that they were talking about, new gadgets, but...
Yeah, Consumer Electronics Show is all about electronic gadgets.
That's right. And actually, as we were driving back tonight, Daryl, you and I were listening to Holland Cook, who is sort of a friend of the show. He was reporting for Doug Steffen from the Consumer Electronics Show. And I know I heard somebody say, I don't know if they were at CES, but I did hear some expert or industry person say that kids that are born today, kids that are being born this year and last year, are never going to drive. Is basically what they said.
It's possible.
Yeah, I heard a sports broadcaster say a few months ago that the driverless car was going to be the end of talk radio.
Why is that? Sports radio.
Because you can play chess if you want, or you can play poker while you're driving.
Well, why would that end talk radio? I mean, people like to listen to opinions and have it out with folks or whatever.
Right, but if you don't have to pay attention to the road,
right,
you can focus on other things. So you could read a book. You could work on your laptop. You could, as Johnny said, play chess. You could wind up snooping.
There's a lot of things that were supposed to kill radio, Johnny Ray. I mean, if you think about when television hit the scene, there was a big concern.
Video killed the radio store.
Except it didn't. I mean, radio is doing just fine today, and there's more penetration for radio than there is for cable television, for instance.
Ask Zach Sang and his gang.
He's a star, is what you're saying. Yeah. Zach Sang. Yeah.
Sarah, do you spell your name with an H?
Good question.
Any way people want to spell it.
Okay.
I
want to spell it.
I'll start spelling it J-E-L-L-O.
Well, Sarah, thanks for bringing that up. To answer your question, I think that, you're looking at an inevitable future with these driverless cars. People don't want that responsibility. I don't think most people want the responsibility of being behind the wheel.
Oh, I hate driving.
Yeah, and they would give it up if they could. I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me to drive somewhere.
I love traveling. Mm-hmm. I hate driving.
I see. Why do you hate it so much?
Well, the thing about it is that, just think about it. Red light cameras are going to become obsolete, and so are speeding bans. So you can't break a traffic law.
If you're not the one in charge. Yeah, that's a good point, Sarah. So that means that the government will have less revenue, which is a good reason to support the driverless cars. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
So the reason I hate driving is because the more time you spend on the road behind the steering wheel, the higher your chances of having an interaction with police.
That's the reason you hate driving. Interesting.
That's a good reason for it.
I would have figured it was the other drivers.
A lot of them, but yeah. Also the
cops.
I don't want to interact with cops. And okay. The more often you're behind the wheel, the higher
that's true.
Chance.
Yeah, the other drivers are fairly benign compared to the road pirates.
That's true. I guess, if I were going to say something that was concerning about driving is the chance of accidents rather than interacting with the police. Because most of the time you're going to be able to walk away from an interaction with the police, whereas an accident, it's probably a little less likely.
Right, but I've also had a warrant in South Carolina for 7 years almost. So whenever I wind up having an interaction with police...
You don't know if they're going to find that out.
Right, it's always one of those things of... Are they going to take me down to the station just because, there's a warrant and they don't necessarily know what it's for?
Now, it's not extraditable, is it?
No.
Okay.
But if I'm ever in South Carolina,
then you're going to jail.
Go directly to jail. Right. But it's one of those things of, do they necessarily know what the warrant is for on the side of the road, or does it just show up?
Warrant. Yeah, I don't know about
that. And so far, since I've... had the warrant, none of the interactions I've had with police have they ever mentioned the warrant?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
Maybe South Carolina's not reporting it effectively into whatever national system?
Yeah, I don't know. What? But I know that when I had a background check when I lived in Texas because I wanted to get a security guard job, that warrant prevented me from getting a job as a security guard in Texas. But
it's
never
just a traffic warrant.
Right. But it's never been mentioned by any police officer that I've dealt with in the last, almost 7 years.
Now, what was it issued for? Failure to appear or what was?
Failure to appear because the cop verbalized a date of May, but he wrote on the ticket April.
And so you showed up.
I was on vacation when I should have been at court. Thinking, I've got another month until my court hearing, I've got court in a week and a half after getting the ticket.
Because you think he did that on purpose or on accident?
I think he was an idiot and honestly thought that May was the fourth month.
Okay, it could be.
I didn't appear, and then, you've got no recourse other than to pay the ticket. And I was like, but I don't want to pay the ticket. I want to take it to a trial, and I can probably beat a couple of these things. And, well, nope, you can't do that. You can only pay it.
So what do you have to pay now? I mean, if you were to settle this up with South Carolina, what would the... I mean, are they charging you interest on this amount?
Presumably. I don't know.
You have no idea.
I have no clue how many hundreds of dollars they want now.
Oh, my God.
I know
at the time... How many years has this been? How long?
Almost seven. I know at the time it was a $187 and some change ticket, and I'm guessing there's probably interest and late fees on that.
I don't know. It would be kind of interesting to find out because that is kind of getting in your way to some extent, right? Like not being able to, not having that satisfied with the state of South Carolina has resulted in you not being able to, renew driver's licenses?
My license is good until I'm 65.
Oh, that's right. Arizona.
Yeah.
So it did get in your way in some way. What was that?
Nothing? Not being able to get a job as a security officer.
That was the only thing. That's the only difficulty that the warrant has provided for you.
Well, if I ever did declare that I was a New Hampshire resident, then it would prevent me from getting a New Hampshire driver's license.
I see. Because of the reciprocation between the states.
Right.
Okay. All right. Toll-free number tonight. If you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. Let's get into economics in one lesson. Chapter 10. We've been going through chapter by chapter in this book, which is free. If you'd like to go and get the PDF version, you can just Google or search for Economics in One Lesson. Henry Hazlitt is the author of the book. This one was a short one, probably the shortest one so far. The Fetish of Full Employment.
And I love the title here.
Why?
Just because it really emphasizes the infatuation that some people have with, we need full employment.
Everyone needs a job.
It is a fetish to the people that support this.
All right. We're going to get into it here in moments. And he really basically makes one point here in the two pages. And we'll dig into that coming up here in moments. With Johnny Ray, Daryl, and Ian here in the studio tonight, you can join us with your thoughts as well. Plus, the police cracking down on folks for feeding the homeless in Florida. Coming up here on the Live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We got a free membership for you for the Libertarian Party, the National Libertarian Party. If you want to get involved in the third largest political party in the United States, you can now do it for free thanks to Free Talk Live. You go to lp.org/FTL. That's /FTL like Free Talk Live. And those FTL letters need to be in lowercase. And that'll take you to their free membership sign-up page, which you cannot access, from what I can tell, from the rest of their website. At least if you can, it's not obvious how you do it. So normally when you sign up at the lp.org site, it's $25 for a year. This gets you that membership for free. It's a somewhat limited version because you don't get like the quarterly newsletter. You'll get one copy of their newsletter, the LP News. It's more like a sample membership, but it is still, you know, you still have the ability to become a delegate at their convention, for instance, and it's still a full on membership.
Depending on what the rules are in the state where you live.
There you go.
Virginia requires that you be a dues paying member of
the state party,
and the national party. For a specific duration.
But New Hampshire, you don't need to be a National Party member, or you do?
Either a National Party member for at least 2 years or a member of the New Hampshire Party for at least 180 days.
Okay. So go to lp.org/FTL. You get a free membership thanks to Free Talk Live, and you can try to shape the future of the Libertarian Party. Do you want to see them be more principled? I think most... you know, truly principled libertarians would like to see that happen. So if you want to help that happen, you can go to lp.org/FTL. As we continue here, just going to get into the economics in one lesson chapter, which is called The Fetish of Full Employment. By the way, with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
In the book here, Henry Hazlitt is just making kind of one general statement here, and that is that there are these people in politics who are constantly pushing the idea of more jobs, more jobs, more jobs. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. But ultimately, what he says is really the most important is whether or not we have full production instead of full employment. Why is that?
Because what you want is the fruits of your labor. The labor is what you have to put up with, is the sacrifice you make in order to increase your own personal wealth. Or if you want to extrapolate the wealth of your nation, it's foolish to think that what we really want is all the labor. And we don't want that. We want the rewards. We want the wealth that comes from doing the work. So if we can...
Because most people aren't going to jobs in order to have a job. They're doing it for other reasons, to take care of their family, to pay off a house, or to, you know, do things they love with their leisure time, or to have more leisure time.
Exactly.
So... Hazlitt here writes in the first chapter, or rather the first paragraph of the chapter, the whole economic progress of mankind has consisted in getting more production with the same amount of labor. It is for this reason that men began putting burdens on the backs of mules instead of on their own, that they went on to invent the wheel and the wagon and the railroad and the motor truck. It is for this reason that men used their ingenuity to develop 100,000 labor-saving inventions.
Right, and that gives us more time to do other things that we'd prefer to do, and also saves our bodies from being, you know, destroyed. So, you know, imagine the difference between a group of men digging a ditch versus someone operating a piece of construction equipment digging a ditch. One of them is far more efficient. The other one is going to, you know, the men swinging shovels is going to result in some strained muscles, is going to result in some tired people, some hungry people, whereas one guy with an earth mover or whatever, a caterpillar, can get that thing banged out in a fraction of the time as a team of men could
do. Yeah, and that
but that means fewer
consequently,
jobs.
Consequently, that team of men, can be out doing other things, contributing to their community in other ways.
Correct.
So you don't have to have a team of 10 guys digging a hole. You can have one guy digging the hole, and the other 9 guys can go do all manner of other different things.
Right. That's not to say they would be out of any job, but it's to say that the ditch digging jobs are much fewer, but they can go ahead and get work in other areas, as you were suggesting there. So, you know, maybe there would be fewer jobs after a lot of technology, but ultimately we wouldn't need as many jobs because everybody would be that much more productive.
Yeah, and he also brings up this this fallacy that he's mentioned before, the idea that there's only so much work to be done, and if we've mistakenly figured out a way to do it with machinery, then the rest of the population will be idle and they'll take to drinking gin and who knows what. And so we have to spread the work around.
Go ahead.
Well, last week we talked to Mustafa in
Sierra Leone,
and he and his partner were trying to realize a dream where they could help their people grow more effectively.
Right.
In the U.S., people grow. I think a lot of people in Sierra Leone grow. They subsistence farm because it's necessary for them.
That's all they've got.
Yeah.
They don't have pesticides or fertilizers, is what he was saying.
Here in the U.S., we're much wealthier, and a lot of people still grow in their own gardens, but they do it for fun.
Right.
They do it as a hobby. They do it as a form of self-actualization. And it reminds me, somebody else on YouTube was talking about Hazlitt's book, and this was Amanda Billyrock, and she was talking about this topic, and she said, consider Maslow's list of hierarchy of needs. Is that what
that's
called?
That's it, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so in a rudimentary economy, you're satisfying the things on those lower levels, but as those things get satisfied, you can still earn money serving your fellow man by helping them satisfy those needs
that are less important,
that are higher up on the chain and are more in keeping with a real cultured person's,
like, intellectual stimulation.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Yeah, I knew somebody who was a life coach people would pay her to talk to her on the phone. And consult with them about their life. And
become a life coach. That'll solve everything.
She made a great living doing that.
Goodness.
If you're living in America and you're like me, you're cleaning toilets, then you're doing it wrong.
But Johnny Ray, you seem to be happy with your life. I mean, you could be doing other things, right? I mean, you're a talented guy. If you didn't like cleaning toilets, or at some level, there are other things you could do and probably make a similar amount of money.
A robot could do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And a robot, even ideally, a robot could program another robot to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a higher end, and it would probably be better for me and the rest of humanity if I figured out what it was. But I'm still serving people in this way. And the robot hasn't come along yet to take my job. When it does, again, we'll all be wealthier for it.
They have robot vacuum cleaners. But the thing is, the robots, you know, that exist for cleaning tasks only do that one task. And in the case of...
And sometimes not that well.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's probably been a decade since I've seen one of these robot vacuums, and it wasn't that impressive back then. Maybe they've made it much better these days.
Well, if there's dog poo on the carpet, it's running over the dog poo.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
is Free Talk Live, and you may take control of the airwaves here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about economics in one lesson and the fetish of full employment. That's Chapter 10, as we've been going through chapter by chapter here, week after week, talking about this book, which is it's a very good book. It's actually the first book on economics that I've ever bothered to read, so I appreciate you encouraging me to do that, Johnny Ray. As we continue here, Ian, Johnny Ray, and Daryl in the studio. Also, want to let you know how to save big time on your Amazon purchases. What you do is you go to saveatpurse.com. That's saveatpurse.com. And when you go there, you'll be able to load up your Amazon wish list and then select whatever discount you want, up to as much as, I think, 30 or 33% off. Which is an amazing discount. Now, I've gotten 20, 25%, 15%. It's pretty easy to get 15% off. You can usually get that fulfilled for you within a day. What happens is you put your items up there, and then you have to have Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency. You can then put your Bitcoin or cryptocurrency into escrow, and then the individual, or there's individuals on the website who want to buy Bitcoin who are willing to pay a premium, quite a premium. They're willing to pay 15%, 20% more than what the regular Bitcoin prices are in order to get Bitcoin. Maybe because they're in a hurry, maybe because they're unbanked. Who knows what their reasons are, but that's how they want to do it. And so they'll go and buy your stuff that you want for you as a gift for you on Amazon. They'll ship it to your door. When you receive it, you just let saveitpurse.com know that you received the item, and then they release the Bitcoin that was yours to the individual who bought the product for you on Amazon. It really works, and it works well. I've been using it for more than 2 years. I've saved over $1,400 on more than 60 transactions over at saveitpurse.com. So it's stuff I would have bought anyway. I was going to buy this stuff at Amazon. Why not save 10%, 15%, 20%? You get to decide your discount. You need to have Bitcoin, though, or some other cryptocurrency to make this work. And it's an awesome reason to go and get Bitcoin. If you needed another reason to go and get Bitcoin, this is a killer one. Save at Purse. SaveATPurse.com.
Ian, I saved $20 on a single purchase for a Christmas gift for somebody.
Sweet.
Yeah, nice.
It was great.
Yeah, I just saved, 15% on that new cough switch that you got there, Johnny Ray, here in the studio, because we think the other one was going bad. Haven't had any issues since we pulled it out of the audio chain, so... Yeah, that was like a $70 cough switch that I got 15% off of. So, you're not actually you weren't holding it down there, were you?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. He was just so loud. I could still hear him in my headphones.
Super loud. Yeah.
I was trying to do it loud enough so that it would reach you guys' microphones.
Okay, yeah, you were successful at that. I actually wasn't sure if the cough switch was working.
No, I saw him push it down.
I saw him push it down too, but I wasn't sure it was actually working. Yep. So anyway, let's get back into the fetish of full employment. Very short chapter where...
Yeah, but before we actually get into what Hazlitt has written, there was something that I had wanted to mention from a book that I had read a couple years ago. It's actually designed for, you know, like school-age children.
Okay.
But I had read it because I was doing a review for something for it. And I'm glad that this is actually the sample chapter that's put up on the website for the book. It's The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. You've heard of the Philosophy of Liberty video.
Yeah, the same guy.
Right. It's the same guy. And that video was taken from, you know, the tail end of the book. But the sample chapter is titled Troublemakers. And it explains the absurdity of... you know, this fetish of full employment in a very humorous way. So the main character, Jonathan, hears a woman screaming about being arrested, and he looks around and he sees a bunch of guys hitting a tree with sticks. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, we're tree workers. We work around the clock, and, you know, it can take hundreds of men around the clock, and if we're lucky, we knock a tree down in about a month. This woman showed up with a sharp piece of metal on the end of a stick, and she knocked a tree down all by herself in an hour.
Right.
And so then he says, well, if you, you know, wind up using this new technology to knock these trees down, then you can develop new products like tables and chairs. Listen, kid, the point isn't to wind up making new products. It's to make sure that everybody has a job.
Even if it's pointless.
Correct. So standing around beating a tree with a stick, right, and hopefully in about a month it'll fall over.
Right. It's absurd, but it does show the point.
Yes.
Here that we're trying to discuss.
Right. So the goal of the economy is full production, and
Hazlitt, or should be.
Yeah, and Hazlitt says that a necessary byproduct of that will be full employment,
mm-hmm.
but full employment is just a means to an end, and you shouldn't glorify the means. What you want is the payoff at the end. And, you know, when we've got robots doing all this manual labor, we're going to be much better off.
Right. And Hazlitt even says we can very easily have full employment without full production.
Full, yeah, okay. I see. Well, yeah,
so,
right, right.
You know, you could wind up doing something like a 30-hour work week, and then everybody's fully employed because they're not working 40 hours, but yet you don't meet your full production because people aren't working as efficiently.
That's right.
Now, while preparing for this talk today, Ian, I learned a little something about the Fed. I think
the Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve, or I got a fresh insight into it because the Federal Reserve has a dual mandate to manage inflation and promote employment, full employment.
Yes.
And I didn't quite realize those two concepts are intimately related to one another. They're like flip sides of a coin almost.
Really?
If I'm right about this perspective that I got today, basically, if when employment gets, you know, closer and closer and closer to 100%, then the cost of labor will skyrocket. So if you have too much employment, then the price of everything is just going to go through the roof.
And the reason for that is what? Because everybody's got a job, so people have to bid up to get them to leave their jobs.
Right,
meaning
exactly.
Meaning offer to pay more and more and more to get the best employees to leave their jobs.
Right, or yeah, just to... Yeah, as available labor shrinks, then the cost, the price that they can, that all of those free right. agents can demand is much higher. And
okay.
It just gets higher and higher. So I didn't realize that and that's...
Well, what's that have to do with inflation?
Because so much of the price of something is the cost of the labor imputed mm-hmm. into it, and that does not...
You're talking about price increases, not necessarily inflating the money supply.
Correct. I'm talking about price inflation.
Okay.
And I think that's what they... Well, maybe not. I was going to say I think that's what they mean, too.
The Fed, you mean?
Yeah, the Fed, but probably not, because they're, you know, money is their product. So when they're talking about inflation, they're probably talking about inflating the money supply.
And, you know, they'll use these figures in determining whether or not to increase interest rates, maintain interest rates where they are, reduce interest rates. And they just recently, for the second time in, I think, 8 years, wound up increasing the base interest rate. Well, whatever, I forget what that is called, but mm-hmm. they had also increased it December of 2015. So like each December for the last 2 years, they've increased this, but mm-hmm. otherwise it's held steady at near 0% since the Great Recession back in 2007-08.
All right. So what else, Johnny Ray?
Nothing. That's it.
Toll-free number if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You know, we get about just under 2 weeks before Donald Trump is going to be taking office, and there's all kinds of just sensational headlines about him, trying to make it sound like he is just going to be the best thing for freedom, saying that he wants to abolish the Fed. And then when you actually read the article, it's not Donald Trump who said anything about abolishing the Federal Reserve. He's supposedly going to appoint somebody who might possibly believe in something like that. So they'll say that Donald Trump is saying things when he has never actually said them.
Didn't Greenspan support the gold standard?
More coming up here. That's a good point. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Our toll-free number, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. And if you want to try out a really great pillow, what might be the best pillow you've ever used, you can do it pretty much risk-free for 60 days by going to MyPillow.com and using code FTL, like Free Talk Live. You get your MyPillow at half price, or you can get two for the price of one. And it's a great pillow. In fact, it's actually washable. You can put it in your washing machine and dryer to keep it clean, which I've never seen that in any other pillow I've ever owned. It's a pretty great pillow as well because it fits to the shape of your body and holds your neck in the proper position. I've been using it for several months. Daryl's got one as well. We've heard some rave reviews from Chris Reitman, who's one of our Thursday night co-hosts. And I think Doug in Minnesota, one of our callers, called in, said he's had one for years. So you can go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL. Get yours. There's a 10-year warranty on it as well. But again, if you don't like it, if for some reason you don't think it's the best pillow you've ever used, then you can just send it back to them within that first 60 days, and they will send you your purchase price back. So MyPillow.com, code FTL. Here's this story that I was talking about with Donald Trump here. It's one of the, there's several variants on this, but the headline, and by the way, the website here, there's a bunch of them that have very similar headlines. This I just pulled out of Google. Investment Watch blog at the top of the top graphic for the header. It says spreading the truth, empowering the people. Now, whenever somebody says they have the truth, I say look out, because, you know, they probably don't. In this case, headline, Trump moves to abolish the Federal Reserve and institute gold standard. Now, first of all, Trump can't really move to do anything yet. He's not the president at this point. He's still got to, you know, be sworn in a couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, really, yes, he can move to do that. He can't abolish it, but he can make some phone calls and do that sort of thing.
He could, you know, request Congress do something.
Yeah, but these stories about Trump, there's so many optimistic people out there. They are just going to be very disappointed with this guy, because they really think that this dude is going to be somehow super different from the establishment. And if he's wrong, then, you know, we'll admit it, and we'll, you know, give him credit where credit's due. Or if we're wrong about that, we'll give him credit where credit's due. But, you know, call me a skeptic here. Just because he's having a meeting with somebody doesn't mean he's moving to abolish the Federal Reserve and institute a gold standard. Now, here's what the story says. By IWB, Donald Trump won the election in a landslide because of bold ideas. His ideas would erase and remove decades of failed policies and corrupt agendas that have plagued this country for too long. As Trump's transition team continues to fill his cabinet, more and more attention continues to surround the possible selections for a variety of high-ranking positions and meetings that might help decide these appointments. On Monday, this was from published on December 31st, so fairly recently. On Monday, Trump held a meeting with John Allison, the former CEO and Bank of the Bank BB&T and of the libertarian think tank the Cato Institute. We have seen several reports indicating that Trump is considering Allison for Treasury Secretary. On the campaign trail, Trump often questioned the future of the Federal Reserve's political independence. In line with these comments, Allison wants to abolish the Federal Reserve altogether and go back to the gold standard. In fact, Allison takes that rhetoric one step further. When acting as the head of the Cato Institute, Allison published several theses indicating that the Federal Reserve was obsolete and needed to be abolished, as it restricts power from the people and allows billionaire cronies to run banks globally. Quote, I would get rid of the Federal Reserve because the volatility in the economy is primarily caused by the Fed, unquote. He wrote that in 2014 for the Cato Journal. So just because Trump apparently went and had a meeting with this guy means that Trump is now moving to abolish the Federal Reserve and institute the gold standard. I mean, it's wishful thinking at
best. Newsweek posted yesterday, citing Reuters, headline, Federal Reserve could see reduced role under business-friendly policy. Reduced role and abolishment are, you know, far cries from one another.
Right. And so far, you know, can he make appointments? You might know this, Daryl, because you're kind of into the political system a lot further than Johnny and I. Can he make the appointment until he's sworn in?
He can say, this is who I want.
Right.
But none of those become official until after he's sworn in.
Right. So all of this seems like speculation here, just because he goes and has a meeting with a guy. Now, that's not a bad thing, right? Like, the fact that he's even talking to someone from the Cato Institute isn't necessarily bad news, right? That's good, right? Because I doubt Barack Obama did that at any point in his tenure.
I don't think George Bush really had any meetings with people at Cato.
Right. So that's, you know, I can understand why people want to imagine the best is going to come out of this. But this is government we're talking about here. And I think your point that you made real quick when we went to one of the breaks, I think the last one, was that Alan Greenspan was at one time in favor of the gold standard. In fact, yes. He's now apparently back in favor of the gold standard, if I'm recalling a discussion we've had about him correctly recently. But that he waited until he got out of the office of the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
So he was for the gold standard in like the 60s or something like that, got appointed to the Federal Reserve, became not for the gold standard while he was working basically for the government or this private bank that's inherently right. tied with the government known as the Federal
right.
Reserve.
Right, it's a government-appointed position to a quasi-independent organization.
Right, and then when he gets... when he retires from the Federal Reserve, then all of a sudden he's back in favor of the gold standard again. So who's to say this John Allison guy isn't going to, you know, maybe he's all libertarian sounding right now, but then once he gets his hands on the power and the reins of control, if indeed he becomes the appointee, then he becomes, you know, in favor of central banks and in favor of all the things he's supposedly against. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think I read something that Allison had written somewhere that I really liked, but I can't remember what it was or what it was a part of. But the last thing I remember Greenspan saying mm-hmm. was after the housing crisis, Greenspan was saying, I guess I was wrong. Markets don't really work after all. I was wrong to support capitalism, and we need a more planned or controlled.
Wow, I thought I remember him saying he wanted to go back to the gold standard again. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
He may have said something since then, but he definitely basically kind of came out and said, I was a little too optimistic about capitalism and freedom.
Jeez. So Fortune has an article, here's why the Federal Reserve is worried about Donald Trump. The Fed recently released their minutes from their December meeting,
mm-hmm.
and they said that the anticipated path of interest rates rose significantly following Trump's presidential victory, and Fed economists said the investors seem to be expecting the same. Quote, most of the steepening of the expected policy path occurred following the U.S. election, that from Fed staffers in the minutes. Fed members seemed convinced that Trump would push through some kind of stimulus measures and that the economy would grow faster under Trump. But they also said that Trump's policies could increase the risk of higher inflation.
Meaning that the Federal Reserve would just decide to inflate the currency?
No. If Trump puts through some kind of stimulus measure of, hey, Fed, you're going to wind up doing another round of quantitative easing.
Oh, okay.
His policies would cause higher inflation, and then they would manipulate the interest
rates. If he orders them to print Correct. More money. Well, presumably, if this John Allison guy gets put in charge, then, you know, if he stays true to whatever principles he has, then they shouldn't do something like that. But again, I just find this optimism. I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate the optimism. But we're talking about the federal government here.
Right.
It's very hard for any of us to be optimistic about anything significant changing in the next 4 years. But again, I'd love to be proven wrong. So if you're following this situation closely, you're welcome to, you know, share updates with us as it goes on. I know Vincent will be back soon enough here. He's coming back in for his next college semester, so he's a big Trump fan. So I'm sure we'll continue to get our Trump updates here on Free Talk Live. You're looking forward to this, huh, Darryl?
No, because I can almost guarantee that, you know, it's going to be 4 years of the man can do no wrong, because that's how partisans are.
Yeah.
Their man can do no wrong. The other guy is always wrong.
Toll-free number. Oh, go ahead.
I heard on NPR that Rand Paul is saying, before we get rid of Obamacare, we've got to make sure we have something to replace it with.
Nothing. Gross. You replace it with nothing.
An alternative, Allison, this John Allison from the Cato Institute, argues if we allow the market to regulate itself, it would be preferable to the Federal Reserve, harming the stability of the financial system. He said, quote, when the Fed is radically changing the money supply, distorting interest rates, and overregulating the financial sector, it makes rational economic calculation difficult. Markets do form bubbles, but the Fed makes them worse. So if this guy does actually get appointed, like the speculation is saying, that can't necessarily be a bad thing. It probably would be slightly better than previous appointments to that position, but that's really all you can say at this point until something actually happens. More coming up. The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of this live Sunday edition of the show. Of course, you can join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
I mentioned that the police are at it again in Florida, cracking down on folks who are feeding the homeless. Once again, the folks from Food Not Bombed. Now, it's been a few years since we've reported on a story like this, but it's like a retread of that same story where people wanted to help some homeless people get some food in their belly, and the police decided they wanted to put a stop to that. And again, it happened in Orlando originally, and then there was another story, I think it was Fort Lauderdale, where an elderly minister was arrested multiple times.
Yeah, the retired preacher that...
He was like 90 or in his
93, 80s. 93, yep. And I think he was like the church cook.
Yeah, I don't recall the details, but he would set up on a beach in Fort Lauderdale. And
over a year ago, it was
not a couple
this
years.
Past Thanksgiving, but the Thanksgiving prior.
Right. And they, you know, came down on him, and he kept going out.
For like three straight nights.
Right. And then they also kept arresting people in Orlando, and Food Not Bombs kept finding volunteers who were willing to go out and get arrested, so they didn't have to rearrest the same people over and over again. They had enough people willing to go ahead and sort of throw themselves into the gears of the system in this case. And I don't know what happened with all those cases, if they ended up dropping the charges or what. I don't remember if we ever even heard an update on that case. But now there's another one. The story from Creative Loafing, CLTampa.com's Anthony Martino writes, temperatures were dipping into unfriendly territory Saturday afternoon as sports fans flocked to the events at Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park. At nearby Likes Gaslight Park, members of Tampa's homeless community were gathered for hot coffee and bagels, courtesy of the group Food Not Bombs. There were no altercations, no illicit substances, no bad behavior, unless you count that, according to the city of Tampa, the coffee and bagels were illegal. Why? Well, because you have to have a special permit in order to offer free food to the needy in city parks. But obtaining a city permit to feed the homeless twice a week, to set up a table and open a bag of chips and bagels and spoon organic beans and rice from a pot can be pricey because of the insurance policy that the city requires. Given how often they do it, that is, homeless people have to eat frequently too, that can add up. Volunteers with Food Not Bombs knew their actions were technically illegal. They had been warned about it earlier in the week, and they did it anyway. As a result, seven people were arrested for feeding hungry people in a park.
And apparently, and I just saw somebody shared a post of a 25-second video of people getting arrested. It says, today I watched my friends get arrested for sharing food with the houseless. I watched a man get arrested for eating. So apparently, least one of the homeless people got arrested as well.
Eating contraband or something like that? What is that all about?
And the interesting thing here is as people are getting arrested, the food containers, so they've got like the portable coolers.
Yeah.
People are walking past those. People are still grabbing food while the people are being arrested.
Well, as according to the story here, they're going to address that here in a moment. So some were arrested while still wearing the plastic gloves with which they were serving the food. When the police arrived on the scene, they give the activists 3 minutes to stop feeding those in need. Then they moved in, pulling the volunteers away as they continued to serve. One of the volunteers could be heard saying to those still gathered as he was being dragged away, please help yourselves. So, you know, they were encouraged to go ahead and take the food while they were arresting the servers. A man who reached for a last-minute bagel was also arrested, which is what you're referring to there. In an email sent to press Saturday night, the group said, quote, it had no plans to stop sharing food with the homeless and hungry and will continue to defy unjust laws that criminalize compassion and mutual aid. Unquote. And that includes a planned gathering Tuesday at 8 in the morning in the same location. This particular story, just came out yesterday. So yes, they are planning on going out again this Tuesday morning. Quote, we intend to expose the city's cruelty in the face of thousands in our community who are struggling with issues of food insecurity, mental and medical health issues, poverty and homelessness. Said a spokesperson for the group, continuing saying that if the city will not address these problems, the least they can do is not get in the way and stop others from addressing these needs. Compassion should never be criminalized, unquote. Now, this isn't the first time activists with the group have been arrested for feeding the homeless, and Food Not Bombs isn't the only group to have been arrested in Tampa for feeding the homeless. Also, Tampa is not the only city in Florida in which it's illegal to feed the homeless without proper paperwork. In Tampa, the group said it's done the same thing in the same park over 100 times with no trouble, and some suspect it has something to do with the college football playoff national championship and related events taking place in Tampa throughout the weekend. And I think what they're speculating there is that the city wants to clean up the city, put those homeless people out of the way, get them, you know, shovel them away in some safe place where they won't be seen by any of the visitors who are in town for these playoff championships, would be the speculation.
Yeah, well, the two teams that are playing are both Southern, so, you know, you've got Clemson and Alabama. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, you know, them go do some Southern hospitality and go out with Food Not Bombs.
Can you imagine how great that would be?
They probably won't. They'll probably just do the typical, you know, go visit the children's hospital and do the photo op sort of stuff. But it would be amazing to wind up seeing the
football
teams.
Stars came out there, you know, with their gear on or whatever, came out there and started serving up food for the homeless and then have the cops walk in and arrest them too. That's a great idea. But you're probably right. They probably won't do it.
Yeah.
But then again, they probably haven't
asked. Photo op stuff.
They probably haven't been asked to do it. I mean, somebody should present that to them. Like, hey, that's a great photo op. But, you know, it's tragic. And it's horrible. And kudos to Food Not Bombs. I mean, they are very brave to continue to violate these city ordinances and put their activists in harm's way here because, you know, they're doing the right thing. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, look, you may not like homeless people. I mean, certainly people have strong feelings about homeless people. Many of them are not the cleanliest types. They, are known for being drunk in public. Some of them are. But not all homeless people are, you know, bad people. They're just some of them are down on their luck. Some of them did choose to be homeless. There are those who, decided they didn't want to live the sort of traditional lifestyle of having a house, and they've chosen that for themselves.
Well, and, you know, some wind up, you know, because of circumstance, not necessarily being able to afford traditional housing.
Right.
I used to go to church with a guy that, because, you know, he got divorced and had to pay child support. So after what he was paying for child support, he could not afford an apartment.
Right.
So he lived in a van.
So if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I wonder, you know, how many places these kind of ordinances exist. Because I know that here in Keene, Garrett Ian, who was one of the activists living here for a while, he's now living back in Concord. But he'd gone out and made some food and gave it away in the public park here, and there was no issue with that. He had announced in advance that he was going to be doing that, so that didn't seem to be a problem here. So is this something that's common in a lot of cities? It's just that we're seeing it being enforced in Florida, or is it something that only happens in a few places?
My guess is they probably just wind up, you know, selectively enforcing the distribution of food.
Mm-hmm.
So if me, you, and Johnny all went out and had a picnic, and I brought the sandwiches, and you brought the chips, and Johnny brought the drinks,
right?
And we, you know, traded thus, nobody's going to come say anything. But if we go out and we just start passing out food to homeless people, then they might then come and say, well, no, there's this city ordinance that says blah, blah, blah. You can't give food without this permit or this license.
That situation is pretty widespread because, you know, America's so litigious that they've got to have their insurance and they've got to have all their ducks in a row. And food, you can't just be giving food away.
But you can in a lot of places. We've done it here in Keene, New Hampshire. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. If you want to comment, you can join us here and take control of the airwaves. It's the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Does this happen in your city? Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in, bring up anything you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733, 50% off. That's a 50% off of HostGator, one of the top hosting companies out there. They give you 50% off their regular prices because you listen to Free Talk Live and you went to HostGator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. HostGator offers a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress. So if you've been holding off on starting up a blog or a website because you're just not so sure about the technical aspects, HostGator makes it easy. They've got 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. They've also got a 99.99% uptime rating, so you don't have to worry about outages. Get the special offer of 50% off by going to HostGator.com/FTL. As we continue with you tonight, you've got Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
Daryl, you've been digging around here through the city of Keene's code to see if we have something similar on the books about not serving homeless people in public parks. We found something about food service establishments and this wide-ranging definition that basically encompasses anyone who is basically serving food for or without money involved.
Right.
But
so
then they repealed that definition last year
and replaced it with another one that for some reason does not appear directly in the text of Muni Code.
Hmm.
So I clicked on where it said adopted ordinance 02015-13-B. And they do have definitions in this. It's in PDF form. So they did adopt some kind of definition. It's just not showing when you actually look at the Muni code. But you have the definition pulled up to where, and I thought that I was right, that this is some kind of arbitrary enforcement kind of thing,
right,
to where it does mention with or without charge.
Well, that's in the definition of a food service establishment, but I don't actually have the ordinance that uses the term food service establishment, so I'm not sure what they're saying food service establishments can or can't do.
Food service establishment means any fixed or mobile restaurant.
Right, temporary, that's the definition.
Right.
But what about, what are they saying about a food service establishment? I know they're saying here that in this notice that they issued to the Shire Free Church over the summertime, they were saying that you're not zoned, that the church was not, property was not zoned for feeding, running a kitchen or whatever. And so I don't know how that would apply to a public park. Because, you know, traditionally, people have been able to cook out in public parks, right? There are a lot of public parks that have the grills, right? So you'll have, here in Robin Hood Park in Keene, there are in terrible shape, but there are a few grills around the
Correct.
Park, and it's not uncommon to see families using those grills and large groups of people using those grills.
Right. So scrolling down here in the code, it says, no person shall operate a food service establishment within the city or its police jurisdiction who does not have a valid permit issued okay. to him by the health authority.
So then you're right. Then they absolutely could have. They could go and apply this to a family who is using the city's own grills in the city's own parks for feeding their family or feeding, you know, total strangers.
Right.
If they wanted to.
Right, and it's going to be selectively enforced,
right.
and that's
Which is
how
what happened.
All of these are. They're always selectively enforced.
And Food Not Bombs pointed out that in Tampa, where their activists were just arrested just a few days ago, apparently, that they'd done it 100 times before. They'd gone out with coffee and bagels, and they went into the park. They gave them to homeless people in Tampa. But this time, they received a warning in advance, according to creativeloafingcltampa.com. It was January 5th, so just 3 days ago, they were given a warning that... Now, apparently, Tampa has a ordinance on the books banning food-sharing events without a special use permit, so it's probably a little... It's more regulated, I think, in a place like Florida, where, again, they're requiring insurance policies. But Mark Beloach, a homeless man in Tampa, said he was going for a cup of coffee Tuesday morning when he witnessed Tampa police attempting to make a young woman shut down a food stand where she was giving away vegan breakfast items and coffee to homeless people. He said she's been coming to the park feeding, you know, nice organic food, vegan food, coffee, bagels, and cereal. This is for people who are less fortunate. Although the volunteer was asked to stop, Mr. Beloach told Kinney, Food Not Bombs is likely to go forward with a plan to feed the homeless in the park on Saturday morning. A city official told Kinney it was the permitting, not the act of sharing food with the homeless, that was the issue. But ultimately, that's what they stopped from happening. And why would a homeless person care whether these people have the permit? They just want to get some food in their belly. They're hungry.
Right.
And I don't think anybody else cares either, except for the city. They care about your obedience. And they want to get a cut. They want to get some money out of these organizations. And it's just sick. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. Let's go to David. He is in New Mexico on Skype. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is it's a human rights violation to stop them from doing that. It's a human right to be able to share food.
Yeah,
period,
absolutely.
Period. And citizens need to stop. If you look up the words cowed and buffaloed, they're two different things, and both are happening, and the people need to, even the cops admit, there was a retired cop, I remember if I heard it on your station or whatever, that was actually saying the same as many of the rest of us, that the cops can't handle more than about 3% of the population, and it's about time to get that 3% together and tell them what our human rights are and arrest them if they hassle us for those things that are human rights. But that's not what I called about, but I've been listening to you, and so that's right at the top of my head.
Yeah, I like what you said, though, that it's a human right to be able to share food with people. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is a human right. There's no debating it. We're not even going to lower ourselves to debate it with you in any government venue, legislature, or otherwise. There is no debate. This is what we will do. You get in our way, and we will imprison you is what our message should be, period. The snow thing, I lived just down the road from Pocatello, or Pokey as the people out there call it, in Jackson, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And I was doing snow removal, and the city dude came around and hassled me for putting snow into the street when the plows were going around, even though the plows, you know, pushed it into their pile quite nicely, and it was a good system. But so anyway, I had that problem. And oh, funny thing, you'll enjoy this, is Sarah has now expanded her, hello, Sarah, if you're listening, I don't think you are, but
she doesn't listen.
Yeah. She's expanded her round. She's been calling the local Sunday afternoon Indian social 4 hours on the local radio and doing her political stuff in the middle of their social hours.
Now, what is an Indian social?
It's called. You can. Anybody who's curious can look it up. It's. And I'll plug. The plug will be good for him anyway. It's on KUNM, the college station, on Sunday afternoons from noon till 4 hour time. And well, you can listen to it anytime. You can listen to it right now by going to their.
What is it?
Oh, they play Indian music, both traditional and contemporary. They just switch back and forth between the different venues. So they'll play some Indian cowboy music for a while, and then they'll play some Indian hip-hop.
And they actually take her calls live on the air on a show that's not intended for political call-ins?
Well, they're getting wise to her. They're getting wise to her. If you could hold me over, I'd appreciate it.
Hang on, David. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. It is Free Talk Live and the Live Sunday Show.
Here's a chance to do a little activism while you're cruising Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. Between the LOL cats, the recipes, the hot girls, and the inspirational sunrise memes, Free Talk Live's post pass by your newsfeed. Like them. Comment. It gives us more exposure. If you don't see our posts, click like at facebook.freetalklive.com and then hover over it to click get notifications. It's an easy way to spread the ideas of liberty a bit further. I know you're busy, but you can spare that tenth of a calorie it takes to click on something. Facebook.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and of course you can join us here, live Sunday edition of the program. We got time for you if you want to join us. 855-450-FREE is the number, 855-450-3733. With you here tonight, you've got me, Ian.
Me, Johnny Ray.
And me, Daryl.
And our Skype username for you is lrn.fm. We can talk more about feeding the homeless and getting arrested for it, which looks like it's going to happen again. It happened Saturday in a park in Tampa, Florida, and the Food Not Bombs activists are committed to doing it again Tuesday morning. So I've got it on my calendar to follow up on that and see what happens on Tuesday. Hopefully they'll have more cameras at the scene. Daryl, you said there was a 25-second long clip that you had seen.
Yes.
But presumably there's a longer version than that, I would hope.
Probably, and yes, I would guess that there is.
Yeah, hopefully their support will only grow. Hopefully more people will come out to witness this tyranny that is going on. As David in New Mexico pointed out, these police are violating the human right, the basic human right of being able to share food with another human being, and it's pretty outrageous. I don't know if that's why you'd call tonight, David, but go ahead with your thoughts.
No, what I called what I can make real quick. I'll sacrifice my time to these other things, but just to finish up on the question you asked me, Singing Wire is an Indian music program, noon to four local time on KUNM out of Albuquerque.
And you were saying that our regular caller, Sarah, has become a regular caller on this Indian music program in Albuquerque.
Yeah, for like the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks or so.
And presumably she's informing them about how great red light cameras are and how much she loves, automated cars and things like that. Basically the same topics.
Yeah, exactly. And she starts out, with the pedestrians, red light cameras, car stuff, and then slowly expands it if they play along. But they're slowly catching on to her. And today, my friend, the DJ was my friend, David. And he doesn't screen his call, so he hits
not.
A button and bam, there she is, and so she starts going into it, and they're all really polite, so they let her go on and on and on and on, and then finally today David cut her off, and when he could get a word in, she said something about whatever, and he said, no, it's time to go back to music.
Yeah. And you hear the listeners falling away. I mean, if you were listening to a music show and then this woman just starts going off about red light cameras, it would be kind of a turn off.
Yeah, I guess I should add they take call and shout. They take shout outs because it's a good way to communicate across the 200 miles by 200 miles of res that they cover. Mm, people can find their friends where they're at, whatever. Everybody tunes in and you call in and say hi to whoever, happy birthday, whatever.
Right, it's like a local show. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So she interrupted that with politics, which it didn't really fit in. But in a nutshell, what I had called about is just to finish up what we were talking about the other day about the Judge Monica Zamora that didn't know the law, and I had to educate her, and I was comparing that to, you compare it to what you know. So what I know is being a professional pilot, and pilots know virtually 100% of every regulation that has to do with the operation at hand, because otherwise they can get in really big trouble. And here's a good analogy.
Yeah, but judges don't have to know everything because they won't get in trouble. They're the only people who are watching a judge are other judges, and they're all buddies. So, you know, a judge can violate their own rules and then ultimately have no consequences whatsoever.
Right.
We've seen it happen a million times.
I used to work for an airline, and there was a bunch of the policies that I knew, but if I couldn't think of something off the top of my head, well, by golly, I knew exactly where the list of policies were, and I could go right over to the book.
Exactly. And here's a really good analogy that I had thought of, though, that will help people understand is, for instance, as a pilot, if I'm flying only domestic on an airline or with corporate or whatever, I'm not crossing international borders, I can just completely forget about whatever it is I learned or whatever is in the regulations about flying international, because I'm not going international. Mm-hmm. But if somebody calls me and books a trip, or I bid a line of flying for the airline that puts me international, then I know that I'm going to be doing that, and I need to go study the regs on that so I know the regs. And as a judge, she controls her calendar. She knows darn well, even if the preponderance of the work that she does is dealing with state adoptions, which this was not. This was a hostile private adoption attempt to take my children, and the state is just runs the courts, right? But so she could, the argument was, Daryl had mentioned that she might not be familiar with it because she doesn't use it all that often. That may be true to some degree. However, she controls her calendar. She knows that on Tuesday, she's got an afternoon hearing on private adoption. Maybe
right,
I should.
She doesn't know beforehand, unless you filed a motion, she doesn't know that you're going to request an attorney.
Well, yeah, but here, remember, like I said, the entirety of the New Mexico statute on private adoption is 23 single-sided pages, double-spaced. A layperson like myself, as I did, read it in a half hour and understood every bit of it, including the part that told me that the state had to give me an attorney. And she could have just as easily, in her morning coffee, read that same thing, knowing that she had an afternoon.
But she doesn't have to. There's no, I get what you're saying. You're saying she could do all these things if she wanted to appear like knowledgeable and professional, but ultimately she's got power and she can do whatever she wants to. Even if she did know the statute, she could have been lying to you. And the fact is, you called her out on it. Whether or not she was lying, you don't know. But even if she was lying, there's, you know, it's going to be hard to prove that. And further, you'd have to prove some sort of malfeasance to a panel of judges, which is usually who oversees the lower court judges.
So let me ask this question. In New Mexico, are judges elected or appointed?
They're elected.
They're elected.
So when's her term come up?
Well, it's never going to come up because the system is everybody. You know the answer to that. The system is rigged in such a way with retention that they have a retention system here. It's not. She never has to undergo a head-to-head election ever again.
Really? So once she gets elected, so there's like an open seat, and then she's elected to it for life.
She's elected to it, and every 4 years she has to get a yes vote on retention.
Right.
Which means
so I'm familiar with
retention. Challenger.
Because in Pennsylvania for a lot of judges. So
I
the
see.
Question is,
no challenger.
Do
so
you want
so a,
Judge
it's
X?
A judge for life. Yeah, and I would argue that it is a violation of law for her to not know it, because she has a legal responsibility to make herself competent, and any reasonable person would expect her to know those measly.
Well, good luck getting her to take responsibility for her mistakes. Thanks, David, for the call tonight.
And I would suggest that whenever she next comes up for retention, because it's not impossible to defeat a judge on retention. Mm-hmm. Throw some money or raise some money to put out a PR campaign to inform people this woman's an incompetent judge.
Sure. Now, so what happens in that case, Daryl, since you're familiar with it, if the people vote to not retain the judge, do they then get to stay for another couple of years until the next election when...
Nope. So what happens with retention, at least the way they do it in Pennsylvania, and again, I'm not familiar with New Mexico, but in Pennsylvania, if a judge loses the retention vote, then they're removed, and then someone is appointed to that seat until the next retention vote.
So there wasn't an election initially to get that
Correct.
Person in. I see. So they could just keep appointing bad judges because, the governor or whoever appoints them, presumably.
In Pennsylvania, in 2005, I believe it was, the legislature gave themselves, in the middle of the night, some huge pay raise, and they included the judges on this.
Yeah.
And somebody challenged because they said this takes effect immediately. Somebody challenged because Pennsylvania Constitution says that pay raises cannot take effect until the beginning of the next term. Mm-hmm. It went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court all of a sudden decided, nope, that's not what the Constitution says. These pay raises can take effect immediately. Because and there's speculation, because they were benefiting. Two judges were up for retention and wound up for the first time ever being removed from the bench. First time ever that a Supreme Court judge in Pennsylvania lost, and it was two of them that lost, and a third came very close.
All right. Toll-free number tonight, if you want to join us. We got time for you coming up in the remaining moments here of this live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Live Sunday edition of the program. You can dial in toll-free here in the remaining moments. We've got enough time for you if you want to talk to us about whatever's on your mind. Maybe you're somebody who supports the police crackdown on feeding homeless people in Tampa, Florida, where Food Not Bombs activists were arrested Saturday and may be arrested again on Tuesday morning. They're planning to go back out to a public park in Tampa and serve food to homeless folks.
Now, we just watched a brief video, about 2 minutes, and the lady cop that seems to be the officer in charge here tells the people, you've got 3 minutes, and then about 30 seconds later, people start
arresting
them.
Yeah, so there's more. If you want to comment, you're welcome to join us. By the way, you can do your online shopping and benefit Free Talk Live by going to shop.freetalklive.com. You enter the Amazon links there. There's Amazon Canada, US, and UK. You get the stuff you wanted, and Free Talk Live gets a cut of the sale. Otherwise, Amazon just keeps it all. So why not go through shop.freetalklive.com and help us out? Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Right now, we got Mike in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ian. Hey, and I'll just ask this, and I'll take your comments off the air.
No, you can stay on. So, by all means, go ahead.
Daryl, first of all, I hope Alabama wins tomorrow night.
So do
and
I.
And then, okay, here's my question. I'm obviously a big fan of Daryl's. And with the and I'm somewhat new getting acclimated with the whole liberty movement in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's going to be hard to win like a libertarian seat. I know I was looking you up. I know you ran for governor a couple of years ago on the kind
Ian
of the Ian. Yes,
that's
yes,
right.
Ian with the mindset of succession, and which I think is awesome. First of all,
yeah,
and then but. Can you or not a you, can either one of y'all or someone similar, like run for the House of Representatives, not from a state standpoint, but like a local congressional seat with the idea of being nothing like, of being similar to how Ron Paul was. Which
you talking about the U.S.
Like,
House? You talking about the U.S. House of Representatives?
Yeah.
There were libertarian candidates who've run and are probably going to run again for that here in New Hampshire.
Now,
I'm not interested in it personally.
Back in the 90s, the last time the Libertarian Party had ballot access in the 90s, we actually had people getting elected to the state legislature as libertarians with that L next to their name on the ballot.
That's true.
And
there were a couple of them,
again,
right?
At least four.
Okay.
And then there were a couple that wound up getting elected as fusion candidates, and I'm not a huge fan of fusion, especially the way that it's run in New Hampshire, to where the parties do not have a say in whether or not a candidate is nominated
fused
by multiple parties.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, we have had people elected to the legislature as Libertarian Party members. And again, we just for the first time in 20 years got ballot access again. So I'm hoping that in 2018, because we've already, you know, we just got ballot access 2 months ago, and we've already recruited a dozen people to run for state rep in New Hampshire, and I guarantee you that number's going to grow over the next 18 months when candidate filing happens. So it would not surprise me at all if a Libertarian gets elected in 2018 or 2020.
At the state level.
To state house.
Right. But you were asking, Mike, about U.S. representative, correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, what Ian, I guess what my mind said.
Let me first.
I'd like to hear what his clarification.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So if enough people move to your city or close by to where the congressional district would represent, how possible is it for a Daryl Perry to go to the House of Representatives? And listen, if nothing else, just bring more, you know, recognition to the free state movement, or just literally be like Ron Paul was and be the only one that's like, no, this is why this is wrong, and just do it every day. And then give interview after interview after interview on TV, you know, MSNBC, you know, Fox, all the different platforms that even if people don't agree with you, how possible is that from where you're at now?
Okay, so let me actually pull up the election results to tell you.
From 2016,
because, you know, we only have two congressional districts in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
So let me look to see how many people wound up voting in District 2, which is where we live.
Well, it's you're welcome
because,
to do that.
You know, the goal of the Free State Project is to get 20,000 liberty lovers to move to the entirety of the state, not concentrate in one congressional district or the other.
And right now, the state of New Hampshire has about 1.4 million people in it. That would mean that 20,000 is about 1.5%. Now, that's not all of them vote, which is why you're looking for the actual numbers. But regardless, it's not going to be a majority at any point. I mean, we're talking about a very small number of people who their job needs to be to influence their neighbors, to move the people in New Hampshire in as more of a pro-liberty direction as possible through
and
whatever means.
The person that got elected to serve for our district, Congressional District 2 in New Hampshire, received just under 175,000 votes.
Okay.
The Republican opponent got 158,000, almost 159,000 votes.
So that's 333,000 votes.
The independent candidate got 17,000 votes. So,
right, 350,000.
Not very likely that getting 20,000 people to move to New Hampshire would be enough to elect a Libertarian as a Libertarian.
That's correct. But the idea isn't to overpower or outnumber the people here. The idea of the Liberty Migrations, Mike, is to bring enough Libertarians to this one geographic area to where we can actually have an impact for the first time ever. And we're already doing that with only a couple thousand people having moved already.
Correct.
The 20,000 people that the Free State Project has signed up are not going to move. There's maybe going to be 10,000 if you're lucky.
Right.
Because some of them are dead. Some of them have changed their email address. They probably don't even know the Free State Project made its goal. So, you know, there's a bunch of drop-offs that are going to happen.
Some of them have probably changed their mind.
Got married and, you know, whatever.
I don't actually believe in that freedom stuff that I did 15 years ago.
Or 10 years ago, they didn't have a wife and kids, and now they do, and they, you know, the wife doesn't want to move, or whatever the story is. So I would, you know, optimistically, 10,000 of them are going to come. But then, of course, we want more people to come anyway. So we're constantly advertising the idea of this migration of
and
the Shire Society, people coming here.
Not only that, you've also got people that are, you know, the friends of the Free State that are locals that agree with
There's a few thousand of them. Yeah.
And then there's the people that agree with us, but they just don't want to sign up for anything.
That's right.
Be it movers or locals. So, you know,
the silent people that support
us. So you get, you know, 5 or 10,000 people moving, and then double that because of all the other people that just don't want to add their name to something, and then the people that agree with us
really
that
what you want to focus
are willing.
On. Yeah, what you want to focus on here is not U.S. Congress. So let's take it down a huge level, down to state representative. That's where you actually have a chance to win something.
Yes.
Here, as a Libertarian, here in Keene, New Hampshire, which is in a lot of ways, the political population of Keene, many of them are hostile towards Free Staters and Libertarians here because of some of the activism that's gone on over time. This is probably one of the most difficult places you know, even before we showed up, just because of the left-leaning aspect to the town, it was one of the more difficult places to challenge the system to begin with, and it's probably more so now. But even when Free Staters run, Johnny Ray, you used to live with Andrew Carroll, who was one of the earliest candidates that we had here. It's not uncommon for an actual Free Stater, an actual libertarian who's running as a Republican or Democrat, to pull 20 to 24% of the vote. So there is a base of support there, just, you know, at the state representative levels. And when you start focusing in on, let's say, a primary, where our friend James Cleveland, co-host here on Free Talk Live,
yes,
a couple years ago, I think it was 2014 election, he ran state representative. He ran as a Democrat in the Democrat primary. He lost the primary, but only by, what was it, 30 votes?
30 votes.
Right. So if you actually did have 100 people or 200 people move into Keene, which would only be a fraction of the 10,000 potential, you know, movers, if we could get 500, let's say 5%, we get 500 people to move to Keene, 100 in each ward. There's five wards in Keene. You've got enough to win a primary. And if you've got enough to win a primary, you've got enough to run multiple candidates to where there's liberty activists in the primary on both the Republican and Democrat and Libertarian sides. You could, in theory, have all Libertarians on a ballot in the general election at the local level. And it's where the local level is where the changes that need to be made will be made. So you got to focus on the grassroots first before you even worry about D.C. Thank Mike, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the discussion. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.